Dino and KC, ESPN 1320 on this beautiful. It really is. I always kind of complain sometimes about like, hey, it's 81 degrees in July. That's not how it's supposed to be. It needs to be 98. Like that's summer. Like I do complain about that.
Is that how you sound when you complain?
Sometimes, like, what the hell's going on?
Reese, why didn't you take out the trash? Is that how it goes?
That's probably how he would reenact me yelling at him. That's exactly how it would be. But, my man, but it is really nice today. It is really nice. I think next week is supposed to warm up too.
I always said that. Can you imagine waking up outside and it's North Dakota and it's dusty out here. That's tough.
You know, people aren't going to like this. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys.
Bakersfield.
People aren't going to like this. Oh, well, shots fired. Damn. Hey, there's a couple people on Sac State's football team from Bakersfield. I got to start showing them some love. I got to start showing Bakersfield some love now. Yeah. Those are my people over there at the Sac State football team. So I got to start showing Bakersfield love. Shout out Bakersfield, man. We got love for you. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'd want to spend the night there, but I got love for you. You know what I'm saying? You got that movie theater right next to the arena where Bakersfield Roadrunners play. So, I said something nice.
Shout out to the movie theater.
But, yeah, man, like, this feels good. This feels good. I like this. You know what really that has a summer that feels pretty good more times than not? And like I said, people aren't going to like this. It's Southern California. Specifically, like, L.A.'s got it, but specifically, like, San Diego. Like, that is how we feel today, what the weather is today. That's, like, what it is every day.
Yeah, only ever been to San Diego once for vacation. It's probably the dopest California city, though.
It's perfect. As far as ambiance, weather-wise, all this other stuff, it is absolutely perfect. Man, there's a few things going on. We'll come back to football. I promise we'll come back to football. I might even have Leezy come in here and talk a little bit about what's going on. But I want to talk a little bit more about the Kuminga stuff. You know, you heard Anthony Slater, you heard what he had to say. I'll ask you, Jesse, does that change how you feel about where this might go?
Like, it's still a lot more active than I think it's been told, I guess, reported. If the Kings are talking to Kuminga, and I mean, Anthony Slater said it was the last couple of days. So if they talked to Kuminga in the last couple of days, then I'd have to assume that means Scott Perry and the Kings think they have a legit shot at making this deal happen.
Well, that's where...
I don't think like talks are dead right now or anything like that. I'd assume that... I don't know if the Kings have offered anything more, but right. Like there is an avenue, I think, to get this done.
That's what's changed a little bit to me. And I'm not sure of the logistics of it all, but it feels like that might have been the first time Scott Perry and Jonathan Kuminga and BJ Armstrong all sat down and talked to each other. And that may change some things. If they came away from that conversation feeling like, nah, I feel good about what's being presented by the Sacramento Kings on Jonathan Kuminga's side, and Scott Perry and BJ Armstrong talking to him and having good rapport and having good vibes about it, that may change how they feel about getting the deal done. Maybe before that, Scott Perry and BJ Armstrong were, and I'll say Scott Perry because I think he's the decision maker. This isn't Imani.
Hey, careful. West. Yeah, careful, yeah, careful, careful.
This ain't Imani and West thing where we don't know who the decision maker is.
Scott and, yeah, Scott. Scott.
It's Scott. If he came away from that feeling like, I really like this guy. I really feel like this, I want to take this chance. Maybe he's a little bit more open to been doing more with the trade proposal. And maybe that wasn't there before the conversation with Jonathan Kuminga. Maybe he was just locked in on, nope, this is the offer, this is what it is, and we're not going to go above that, we're not going to bid against ourselves. Now, like I presented the situation before the handoff, if the Warriors come to Scott Perry and say, you know, hey, this is what we're looking for, and we're willing to just sign them and bite the bullet because it's a no-win situation for us anyway. We're not going to just take anything. Maybe now Scott Perry is like, all right, man, like I'll budge a little bit and offer a Keon, or maybe if it's a pick situation, maybe that's what he'll offer after having a conversation with Jonathan Kuminga and realizing he does, like it went well and they do kind of they are interested in each other, and they're a little bit more interested in each other than they maybe originally thought.
Well, yeah, a lot of the stuff that we used to talk about too before this was just kind of like, all right, you gotta go work money out between the Kings and Kuminga roles and stuff like that. And then Anthony Slater earlier on the Insiders talked about, yeah, they told Kuminga like he'd start, he'd have a role and things like that, right, which is also something we need to talk about as well, because if Kuminga lands here, then it's kind of what's the starting lineup looking like in that case.
If Kuminga lands here, if they get Jonathan Kuminga to be on the Sacramento Kings for the first time, for the first time, I would be like, all right, DeMar, let's talk about this bench role.
Kuminga's not a four at all, right?
I think he can be a four. He's a new age four a little bit. I think he can be a four. I think I would rather, me personally, I would rather Kuminga be at the three and Keegan stay at the four. But we've gone through that. We know how I feel about Keegan playing the four. I think that's a better spot for him. So that's where I would want it to be. But I think in certain situations, they can be interchangeable. But if you are able to lock down Kuminga, that's one of the first times when I've said, all right, DeMar, this is what we've got going on. We've got a clear young gun here that we're trying to establish and we want here. What about the six-man role coming off the bench?
Yeah, I don't know. Can you sell that to DeMar DeRozan at this point? Because I feel like if I'm DeMar DeRozan, it's kind of like I'm trying to get what I can out of the last couple of years of my career, no?
Yeah, I
mean, maybe if he's bought into the team aspect and like he's, yeah, I'm a Kings player or whatever, I'm a team guy till my contract's up, then sure. But I don't know. I've been kind of just like, that's not happening.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't think that's happening with the roster as is.
Yeah.
Kuminga comes to the Sacramento Kings. I think that might change some things. And that may change your approach to building this roster and setting out the starting lineup. Would DeMar be down with that? I'm not sure. The one thing that I don't think people take into account and don't realize, especially here in Kingsland, you may feel some type of way about DeMar DeRozan, and you may feel that he's holding things up or anything else like that. By all indications, Scott Perry loves him. Scott Perry loves DeMar DeRozan, believes in him as a basketball player, believes in him as somebody that will help you win games, which is what they're trying to do. So I don't think he has, I don't think Doug Christie has the same outlook on DeMar DeRozan that everybody outside of the Kings walls here in Sacramento feel about DeMar DeRozan.
I had a thought. It was just a thought. Rob Starks brought it up, so we're going to say it's his thought.
Okay,
We're going to blame it on Rob. Yeah. I just realized they're going to make Keegan go to the bench for personality reasons. Jabari Smith is coming off the bench too. You don't move Keegan to the bench, right?
I brought this up like 2-3 weeks ago.
Did you?
And you guys got mad.
Did we?
Remember when Kyle came back and stormed back into the room?
I thought we were talking about bringing Kuminga off the bench that one time.
It was Kuminga.
Okay, yeah.
That's right. You're right. You're right.
I was like, wait, when?
Yeah, no, you're right.
You don't bring him off the bench, right?
What happened was I said Kuminga, and everybody's like, well, DeMar got to go to the bench.
Yeah.
And then you guys are like, why are you saying Kuminga come off the bench? I said, I'm trying to protect the guy that you guys love here, that you love and that you would never send to the bench. But don't think it didn't cross my mind.
Well, I'm just asking. Like I said, it was a thought. Rob Stark said it, so it's his thought. We're blaming it on Rob. But it's also like, I don't know, Scott Perry's like, yeah, we want to get Keegan minutes at small forward, blah, blah, blah. I'm just asking questions.
What you want me to do right here, Jesse? Would you want me to choose violence, or you want me to just play nice with everybody?
I'd prefer you chose violence. I think it'd be better for the show, to be honest. I'm just asking the question. I started, yeah, you don't move him to the bench, right? That was my question. So basically it's on you guys to be evil, not me.
I'm not so set in stone. I don't want to move him to the bench. I'll put it to you guys like this. If the Kings got Jonathan Kuminga, and we're talking about, hey, we talked to him about starting and all this other stuff, that was the conversation, and that's what we're comfortable with, that's what we're trying to do. If they got him and they want to be true to their word, my first conversation is with DeMar DeRozan and say, DeMar, we got JK here, man. what do you think about the prospects of moving to the bench? That's where I go first. If he says no and that becomes a problem, all right, now I might have to get on Keegan's line real quick.
What do you think of the scoring from the starting five if DeMar hits the bench and Kuminga goes in there? Like, what is the Kings scoring dynamic, I guess? You can go overall team now since DeMar's off the bench.
The King, like the first option, second option, third option?
And does it hurt them that DeMar's coming off the bench?
So if DeMar's coming off the bench, I don't think you lose a whole lot scoring. You're going to lose a little bit. I think Kuminga's the type of guy that can get to 19, maybe 20 points per game. And DeMar, I think, averaged 22 last year. So I don't think it affects it that much. Now, does it affect DeMar's scoring come off the bench? That's something I'll get into on the other side when we come back.
It's called a tease, kids.
Yeah. Because I think people are forgetting a major situation here. I just think they are. I'll talk about it. I'll break it all down. It's D-Lo and KC, ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Hey, man, D-Lo and KC, ESPN 1320.
Let's get it.
Your boy KC with you on this beautiful Friday afternoon. I got Leezy rocking with me for a little bit.
What up?
We got Eddie Gonzalez pulling up a little bit later. My guy Bonte Hill, he's pulling up a little bit later. All right. No, because look, this is the whole deal. This the whole deal, Jesse. Like,
here we go.
Remember, we were minding our business.
Yeah, we were.
We were minding our business.
And then we were accused.
So now, you know, pew, pew.
Yeah,
that's got to go back.
Yeah.
I think it'll last a little bit longer because some people are gone on Monday.
Oh.
They're not going to get a full week, so I think it'll last a little bit longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
Pew, pew.
And that's the thing. They put the heat on us when in reality it was them, I think.
That's what I think.
Like,
it
we
was.
Were falsely accused.
That's what I think.
Because there was a point where it's like, all right, I'm going to leave it alone. All I was really grabbing was the fruit snacks. And I left the snack shack alone for a little bit or whatever, right?
That's it, Jesse. That's all they got is the fruit snacks.
Ham had the snack juice, the snack, what's it called? The snack
juice of fortitude?
The snack of fortitude. Yeah, that.
Yeah. Look, I ain't going to lie. I was getting after it, but I wasn't going crazy.
Like Leezy said,
I was getting
though,
after it at the back, snack shack.
Like Leezy said, though, I come back after a week. All that's left is the gummy, the fruit snacks.
It's a ghost town over there. Every time I come back here, just hit up, bro. Good snacks.
He's here every Friday. He's been gone for a week, and then it's just. It's gone.
Yeah. Hey, that's against point. Hey, KC, I don't got no pizza, but I might have to start donating, man. Yeah, that thing needs some help. I'm going to have to come with some snacks.
You ain't got no damn pizza. You're right. You ain't got no pizza. That's a whole nother conversation. But here was also the situation, Jesse. This is why we always talk about it. If it was gone, it was gone, man. That's just what it is. Like
that's fair. Cool. Yeah, it's
gone. You know, it was good while I was here. That's whatever.
We bring a bag of chips from home, I guess.
Yeah, we didn't about nobody. We didn't say nothing about nothing.
They were coming and putting their hands into our snack boxes.
That's a real talk. No doubt, man. No doubt, man. It's all love, though. It's all love. It's all Odyssey love here at the Ridge.
The Ridge. Let's go.
Yeah.
Hey, I never got a shirt, by the way. Speaking of.
He might have one for you.
Yeah, go see Jackie.
I'm about to talk Jackie. I didn't get a shirt. I didn't get the little coaster you guys got.
I don't even think I got a coaster.
No, you got a coaster, I think.
Where?
Yeah, it should have your name on it.
Okay.
At least you got to work for that coaster, brother.
I do, man. Yeah, sometimes.
Hey, no, you got to work. Yeah, don't be asking for coasters. You got to work for that coaster, brother.
You got to, what's the thing that they have sometimes, like at the shops where when you come in and they stamp your car? You got to get more stamps.
You need 20 more stamps, brother.
Yeah.
It'd be hard out here. I'd be feeling like Will Smith, like, why don't he want me, man? What do I got to do, guys? Come on. I'm helping the team. Give back.
We want you. We just want you to do what you're supposed to do and bring pizza on Friday. Oh. That's what we're asking for.
Okay. See, I got to get my pizza sponsorship.
Bill Belichick, do your job.
Shout out to whoever gave us the coaches, by the way. I don't know who gave us those.
Yeah, shout out.
Yeah, Bill. Whoever did. We never found out who did.
That was clutch, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Before we went to break, we were talking about DeMar DeRozan and Jonathan Kuminga, and what do you do if you get Jonathan Kuminga here in a trade, if you're Scott Perry, if you're Doug Christie. I said, for the first time, if you were able to get Jonathan Kuminga for the first time, that's when I'd be like, all right, tomorrow. You know, all right, man, maybe we got to see what this six-man role looking like, big dog. You know what I'm saying? You
DeMar
know, I got
DeRozan love for is a Hall of Famer, Casey. You asking him to come off the bench?
I mean, in certain situations, yes. Not in the situation that everybody else is talking about. No disrespect. I don't mean any disrespect here when I say this, but he's not going to the bench to start Keon Ellis.
Do you think Scott Perry knows who he'd be who he's sending to the bench if they get Kuminga? Like now?
Yes. Yes. I do. I think he has an idea. I think it's DeMar DeRozan. I think that is the scenario where he would go to DeRozan and bring that situation up. Not as the roster is presently constituted, because DeMar, whether people like it or not, he does too much in a good way this team to be like, oh, go to the bench.
Yeah.
Like, what? No.
Well, that's the thing, too. Does DeMar need to be okay with this before you make the deal?
Yeah, like, he's got to be okay with this. Well,
I won't say that. Hold on. No, because Kuminga is the future. DeMar's here for about a season at most, maybe.
I agree with Jesse.
It's kind of like what is, yeah, I guess. Let him know and then make the deal?
Honestly, I'm not.
You're not even
DeMar,
really
this ain't got nothing to do with you. Wow. This ain't got nothing to do with you. No, once again, I want to make sure everybody knows
is there. You say, I don't mean disrespect you. Then you say stuff like this.
So then you go to DeMar DeRozan before you make the deal. Hey, DeMar, I want to let you know we're about to make this deal, and this is what we're looking at. Mm-hmm. He says, no, I don't like that. What you going to do, not do the deal?
Okay.
That's why you don't ask him.
Yeah.
This is much like kids, right? You ask for forgiveness as opposed, what they say, better to ask for forgiveness
than
as
permission.
Opposed, than permission.
That's a real thing.
And that's how you handle this thing if you Scott Perry. We'll deal with this. Mm-hmm. Once he's here,
you got to approach him the right way about it. You can't just be like, hey, we're making this deal. You're going to have to come off the bench.
Oh, well, of course.
No, you got to come out with the right way.
Well, of course.
Hey, big dog.
Now, look, if I'm giving off the vibes that you just, in a disrespectful manner, just say, hey, this is what we're doing. We don't care about you. That's not how you do it. That's not how you talk to people.
No.
That's not how you talk to a Hall of Famer like DeMar DeRozan. You go to him and say, DeMar, hey, man, look, You know, I love you, dog.
Yeah.
I love you. And you are still vital for what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
But we came across a situation here acquiring Jonathan Kuminga. We got to get this young guy ready for the future of our franchise.
Yeah.
And it'd be easy for somebody to say, hey, we just move on from DeMar DeRozan. We don't want to move on from DeMar DeRozan, okay? No. You hear me, DeMar? We don't want to move on from you.
We
want you right here.
Yeah.
We see you as a valued member of what we're trying to build here. But we may need you to come off the bench in order for that to happen.
I'd imagine if you're bringing in Kuminga too, you probably just thoughts moving on from DeMar at the trade deadline or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if you want a full season with DeMar DeRozan off the bench.
Yeah.
I do wonder too, like, I agree with you, like, you bring him in, Kuminga in, no matter how DeMar DeRozan feels about it. But I don't mean, you don't want, I'm not saying he would be or whatever, but if, like, you don't want a disgruntled player to sit on your team the whole year.
Right.
No.
Right.
That's the last thing you need. We're trying to build the right culture. You can't have guys upset. You got to communicate with them.
Right. That's it, man. Yeah. You talk to them about it. Now, here's the thing that I talked about before the break that I'm not sure people are factoring in. I don't think they ever really factor in. And I do. Okay, I do. This is important to me. This is the way I look at it. People are always talking about, hey, just send DeMar to the bench. Send him to the bench. Send him to the bench. Send him. Oh, we get Kuminga here. DeMar, 35 years old. Hey, go to the bench. You figure that out. Okay. You have a conversation with DeMar. He does say, all right, man, I'll start off. I'll be the sixth man.
Okay.
I'm doing this for the team.
Hey.
Here's the part people don't take into account, don't pay attention to. 6 minutes left in the game. Who's on the floor?
DeMar DeRozan. He's coming back in.
Who's the five? Who's the five, Jesse? I'll ask you, and Lisa, you can tell me as well. Chatty House, you can tell me. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, you can tell me. 916-909-1320. 6 minutes left in the game. It's a four-point game. Who's closing that thing out?
Probably going Schroeder, Levine,
yep.
DeMar, and then whoever's hot between Keegan and Kuminga that night. Sabonis closing it out.
And real quick,
yeah.
Lizzie, I'll ask you, what's your five?
Schroeder, Levine. Kind of like what Jesse said, if Keegan or Kuminga's hot, but no matter what, I'm keeping DeRozan in there. I'm going a guy who I know can get me a bucket. Hey, it's not how you start, it's how you finish, and we're going to finish the game with DeRozan.
I agree.
Let's go.
I also think Zach LaVine is out there, and I think you also need Zach LaVine out there for his shooting and his playmaking and his creation late in those games. So everybody is okay with potential times when Keegan Murray doesn't finish these games.
Mm. Well, here's the thing. You want Keegan out there for his defense, but at the same time, if you know you're trying to win the game.
And that's a good point, Lizzie. Like, Keegan Murray is probably your best perimeter defender, even with Jonathan Kuminga there.
Yeah.
So you're going into, you know, closing out these games, and you're not going to have your best perimeter defender out there potentially.
I think you're hoping you're only dealing with that problem for only so long, though. Mm. I think if, like, just the more we talk about it, I think you got to move on from DeMar DeRozan at some point and push it forward with Keegan and Kuminga on the court, Sabonis, and whoever else you see a future with. Obviously, LaVine has to play, like, he's a scorer and all that, so, like, he's out there, but I'm trying to find minutes for Kuminga and Keegan.
That's the thing. The Kings have a lot of talent. Finding minutes and shots for everybody is the hard part. So some guys are going to have to sacrifice.
That's tough. The more that we talk about this, you get Jonathan Kuminga. You may separately and at the same time kind of be looking to see what you can do to move DeMar DeRozan before the season starts.
Well,
maybe it's a three-teamer that you work out with this sign and trade or something like that. But I don't know. I don't know how that dynamic is supposed to work.
Here's another
thing. Kuminga, DeRozan, LaVine, and Murray.
Here's another.
And we didn't even talk about Monk not playing at the end of games either.
And here's the thing. Let's say, hypothetically, DeRozan, under whatever circumstance, comes off the bench, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you go into the season. Hey, you got Shooter now setting up the offense. You got LaVine playing a little more consistent. You got your rookies contributing. Let's say the Kings get off to a hot start and DeRozan's on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when it comes time for to maybe trade deadline, you might be able to say, hey, he's been able to perform at this role. Who wants him now? He can come and contribute to your team, to a contender. He's played this role here. He can do the same for you maybe.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. But the Kings are trying to win.
Yes.
They're trying to win basketball games, whether you agree with it or not. What does that dynamic for the first 52 games of the season or whatever, what does that do for your ability to win games? It's dicey. Yeah, it's dicey. Let's go to the Elk Grove Kid Talk Line, man. 916-909-1320. Let's hear from Will, man. Will, what's the clutch lineup, the crunch time lineup that you look at if the Kings were able to acquire Jonathan Kuminga?
So here's the thing about it, and I'm speaking as a lifelong ball player. I've coached all that.
Okay.
In the last 4 minutes of the game, you're going to have some situations where you got offense, defense. You got to see who's the hot hand. Now, you know, we all know DeMar is a clutch player.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to automatically think, I'm going to have DeMar on the floor. Sabonis is the best rebounder in the NBA. You got to close out possessions. You're going to have him on the floor. But the other positions are going to switch. They're going to change, and a lot of it depends on hot hand. If Kuminga's got 30 and he's been cooking all night, you're going to want him on the floor. If Keegan's been locking down his man, you're going to want him on the floor. But it's going to change around that last 4 minutes. I think if you're talking last minute or two and it's a 2-point game, now you're talking, you want your clutch shooters out there. You want LaVine, you want DeMar, you know, you want your facilitator, whether it's Domas, whether it's Schroeder, whoever's your facilitator. And then that last position, it's going to depend on who's got the hot hand that night, as far as I'm concerned. And everybody on a team needs to have a coach telling them all the time, I'm going to play you when you're winning us the game.
Well, I want to ask real quick. I want to present something to you because you sound like you know your stuff. I want to hear what you got to say about what I have to say here. I hear what you're saying. I think that would actually flip. I think in the last 4 minutes, there's not going to be as many stoppages where you can go offense, defense. It's going to be going up and down the court. So if you have a offensive team out there, I think it's going to be difficult to get your defensive players in there because they're going to be going up and down the court, less timeouts, less stoppages, and things of that nature. In the final minute, I think that's when you could do more offense, defense type stuff because you'll be having timeouts called, you know, to set up final possessions and things of that nature. I think that would be more of the time when you can do offense, defense, and strategic subbing at that point. What do you think about that?
I can definitely see that, but the beauty of what – so one of the things that we've had problems with for many years here is depth talent, having talent down the roster, 10, 11, 12 deep. We finally are kind of getting to that point. Now, mind you, there is some issues with size. There's some issues with, you know, what players work where. That's for Doug to work out and figure out. Plus, it's for Scott Perry to make moves when he needs to make moves – to swap out and get the right guy. And the right guy doesn't necessarily mean we're getting a star. Mm-hmm. It can mean we're getting the right guy that fits this team and plays the proper role around our key guys.
Right. I hear you. I appreciate you, Will, man. That was some good stuff for sure. Yeah, I think I understand people talking about the offense, defense. I think that's something that happens in the last minute and a half of a game. And that's for sure what you would try to do, coming out of a timeout or something like that. You get your best defensive team out there. You do that happens routinely. But when you talk about that 6 to 2 minute range, I don't think there's going to be enough time and enough opportunities to switch out offense and defense and all this other stuff. You're going to be going more so with the lineup.
You're going to be rolling with the guys that brought you there.
I agree. Rob Starks in the Chatty House says, closing lineup, DeMar, Monk, LaVine, Sabonis, Keegan, same as it was last year. Mm-hmm. I think that would be bad for business. If you went out, got Jonathan Kuminga, you told him that this is the plan that we have for you. You kind of sold him on that. That's why he agreed to, you know, be part of the sign and trade, to sign the contract and all this other stuff. And then you get him in a situation where essentially he feels like he's in the same situation that he was in Golden State. Yeah. I think that's bad for business. That's bad for your name.
That's another thing, too. I think you're bringing in Kuminga to be a top, not necessarily a top option, but a top two option, I think, on your team, like letting him cook. I think that's what he's looking for. And yeah. I think like you like doing that, he's going to have to be around towards the end of games, too.
I agree.
That's true.
I agree. I think that'd be bad for business to kind of renege on what you promised him essentially, or the outline that you have for him, the recruiting pitch that you gave him to get him there. So if they were able to get Jonathan Kuminga,
yeah,
my outlook would be, oh yeah, like Jesse said, he's getting 33 minutes a night.
He's coming here to play. We're not doing this Steve Kerr stuff again where he's sitting on the bench and he comes in here and there. No, he's coming here for minutes and shots.
I agree.
And also, I was looking at that. Don't you want shooters still out there, though, running your offense? Because they didn't have shooter. I didn't see shooter on that list he had.
Because he had Monk in there for shooter. Right now, I want shooter out there as more of a table setter and a traditional point guard.
Yeah.
I know James thinks that he's a little bit more closer to Monk than we give him credit for, and he may be, you know, the numbers may bear that out, but I just know I have a different feeling about him as a point guard when I watch him play than I do for Malik Monk. I look at Malik Monk as a finisher, not a table setter for others. Yeah, he's good on the pick and roll, but that's about it, and that's kind of only proven to be with one guy.
That's like just him and Sabonis.
Yeah, he's good on the pick and roll with Sabonis.
They got that
anybody
down.
Else, it doesn't really work, and he's not a table setter for anybody else. Yeah. That's not a knock on him. That's just not his role. I look at him as a finisher. That's a guy that gets the ball to finish at the basket, not to set up for others. Yeah. And that's the role that I'd want him to play.
Exactly. And this team, we have plenty of talent here. You just need someone to organize everything. And so, yeah, Monk's, that's not his skill set. He can get you a bucket, but he's not setting up other people.
I agree.
Cygnus in the chat out says, this just proves how messy the roster is. I agree, like, with that. Just if you're bringing in Kuminga, there's got to be another move after that. I don't think the Kings can keep bringing in like these players or whatever and just have like just a jumbled mess at the forward position and how it is at guard. Like, I think at some point, like if you do bring Kuminga, Scott Perry's got to start figuring out a way to just even this out finally.
I agree.
Where it's not just necessarily like, we're not talking about, oh yeah, who are you starting at the end of the game? It's like, now it's just a set rotation and things like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Like I said, I think DeMar's the one that you got to move, but
I'm with you. And you know, I haven't really been feeling that way a lot of the off season, but you get Kuminga and that changes a little bit. I think that changes the direction of what you're trying to do with this team, the approach that you're taking, but also the roll of the dice that you're willing to take if you bring in a Jonathan Kuminga, and you got to see that through a little bit more if you're able to get him. So I'm with you on that one. Let's go back to the Elk Grove Kid Talk line. We got my guy.
Oh yeah,
in New Jersey.
Oh,
Mitch, what's up, man?
Casey. Lizzie, Jesse, how you guys doing? Happy Friday.
Happy What's Friday, up, man. Mitch? How you doing?
Doing pretty well.
Good. You know, sound good. You sound good.
Don't waste your time.
What'd you say?
What movie?
Superman?
Yeah, horrible.
Oh.
You didn't like it, bitch?
Didn't like it at all. I took a nap. Just look at my phone. Forget it.
You took a nap during the movie?
I couldn't help. I fell asleep.
It's worse that you were on your phone during the movie.
Man.
He said, I couldn't help it. I fell asleep.
Yeah, I know what some people are going to say. The Mamacitas. No, no. I was looking at the sports news.
No,
anyway.
No.
Oh, yeah. Mitch wasn't on Twitter. He was on ESPN, he said.
Oh, okay.
Mitch, a wild boy.
What do you want to talk about
today,
Mitch?
What's on your mind?
I know. Listen, Jesse, I'll get you that sombrero hat, but you got to wear it, okay? If I mail. Hello?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, Mitch. All right. We're with that. Okay, Mitch. Yeah.
What I want to say, I don't want to give the our two best players or the draft choices for Kuminga. If it's DeMar or Zach LaVine, I'm fine with it. But you mentioned about developing the bench. I think Russell or Westbrook and Ben Simmons are still out there.
Yep.
Could we take a runner for them? It won't cost as much. What do you think? Have a nice weekend. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate you, Mitch. Thank you, brother. Have a great weekend yourself. Well, I don't know, but Simmons is—he's about to be in the Boston Harbor. It feels like
that's the word.
The streets are saying.
Top odds. Word. Ray, I can fix him.
No.
I can fix him.
Yeah, Ben Simmons—they talking about him going to Boston. Well, they're the favorites to land Ben Simmons, so he might be off the table soon.
Ben Simmons is a minimum guy the rest of his career.
His paydays are done.
I agree.
Russell Westbrook. Yeah. Hey, I'm coming around to the idea of Westbrook.
I love Westbrook. I want him here, but I'm kind of getting to Jesse's point where, like, how are we going to keep adding these players and still having the players that you
bring in Westbrook unless you're moving off of
like two
Devin
people.
Or Mock or whoever, one of those guards?
Yeah, I feel like two. You need space for two people because I know you want depth and I know you want to have people, you know, in case of emergency. But, like, I only like to go with the rotation, nine guys deep, potentially.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's max. A lot of times, especially if you're fortunate enough to get into a playoff situation, there's only about an eight-man rotation at that point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm looking at, obviously, you got your starting five of Schroeder, LaVine. And I'm just talking about the guys that are here right now.
Sabonis.
Schroeder, LaVine, Keegan, DeRozan, uh-huh. Sabonis.
Yeah.
The bench is Monk,
Ellis,
Clifford, Reynald. I'm at 8-9 right now.
Hey, KC.
And you want to add a Russell Westbrook? You want to add a Jonathan Kuminga? Because in a Jonathan Kuminga trade, at least what's been reported, you're only moving on from Asarik and Devin Carter. Neither one of those guys are even in the rotation. Yeah. So you're adding without subtracting at all. And I didn't talk about bringing in Russell Westbrook.
Exactly. See, we're running out of room over here.
So,
hey, KC, I had just some breaking news. You know, you mentioned my guy.
Hold on. Let's see. Hold on. We got to do it right if we're gonna do it. Hold on.
Here we go.
No
glass.
Well, it's here. I just don't know where it's at.
Oh, he's searching. Come on.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it's gonna happen. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, here we go. Breaking news from Leezy. So the streets have been asking for it. Kings fans have been salivating for this.
I'm not sure if they have.
They have been begging night and day for this. Well, I'm happy to say I finally delivered. If you go to our Instagram page, check out ESPN 1320 on Instagram. The poll is up. Pictures of the Maxine Ray Beam shirt are up.
Sir, we already decided we were not having that as his nickname.
Hey, we decided that, but the streets said otherwise.
Come on, man.
The picture is up. Vote on which shirt you like better. I might be at some Kings game just handing this out. We're going to make this a thing.
You said on the Instagram page?
On the Instagram 1320 page.
I don't see no poll.
I see a poll people up there. Whoa, on the story. Check the story.
Oh, okay.
There
we're
you
on
go.
The story. All right.
It's on the story up there. Everybody go vote. I'm going to hold it up for the screen. Make sure it's the right thing. I don't get Mitched. Got to hold up for the screen.
Come on, man.
Go out there and vote.
All right, man.
Let us know what you guys like. Oh, pick number two. Okay, Stevie B. That's my guy.
That's not even going to be his nickname.
I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to talk to Deuce. I'm going to talk to whoever. Mark Jones. Who? I'm going to talk to somebody. We're going to make this happen.
Jesse, you brought him to the party, bro.
I didn't, actually.
You brought him to the party.
I think that's Joe's boy.
Hey, shout out to Brazil. Joe, that's my dude.
Joe, who had a great time at the baseball game.
Must be nice.
Without us.
Had a great time.
I wasn't there. Joe was taking photos and videos. He stole my job. I wasn't there.
It was great times. Great times. Yeah. Walk off, home run, everything. Yeah, Leezy, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Well, look, get the shirt.
Okay.
Wear it.
What size, skinny?
No, I didn't say get one for me. Oh. I said get one. Okay. You wear the shirt.
All right.
You see what the streets are saying in actuality.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, film it. We're filming everything else. Film it. See if anybody walks up to you and says, I need that shirt.
Okay.
I love that nickname.
COE, content over everything. We're going to make it happen.
If it's a total of three people, we're putting it to bed.
Oh. Okay. Okay. We're going to workshop this. I'm going to make it a whole event. Something's going down.
All right, man. I'll ask Jesse. You never answered earlier. You never answered this question earlier.
Answer which one?
And I'll ask you as well. If we talked through everything yesterday, we did talk through everything. We're like, hey, man, we ain't. Nah, man. Keon, bro, he here. He here. He kings. Mm-hmm. He gonna stay kings. He here. And we worked it out. We said we ain't doing that. But Kyle Madsen came back and he came up and he said, look, the Warriors, all right, cool. I want to be clear. You're not putting Keon Ellis in this trade. And if you say no, we're going to move on with our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse, we're moving on with our lives? Or are we making a deal?
We're just throwing in Keon instead of Devin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you answer?
Me?
I did answer.
Oh.
I said if they presented it that way, and I really believed them, I would make the deal.
Keon's playing without a contract extension right now. Like,
yeah.
I want to know how they feel about him.
Mm.
Like, you can tell me, oh, yeah, we'll work something out later on, blah, blah, blah. But
you talking about the Kings?
The Kings, yeah.
And
if they're not too fond, like, not fond, fond's not the right word, but if it's just kind of like they're still thinking of what they want to do, then I think I would.
Yeah. On one hand, you like instantly you're like, oh no, I'm not trading Keon Ellis, but because he's like one of our best defenders, he's a guy we developed, he's part of our system. But at the same time, Kuminga has a higher ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that Ellis brings he takes care of a lot of the needs we have here. But at the same time, you do have to take that risk for someone with a higher ceiling. And he's still young. He's younger than some of our rookies.
I'm 22 years old.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely asking.
Oh.
Like, how difficult would it be to replace a guy like Keon Ellis?
Wow, why would you ask that question?
Well, I mean, just
no.
Someone,
why would you ask? Because you, I think you know what I'm
like. I'm sure you could find someone out there. Like, still, like if you trade him for Kuminga, you could find someone out there who can knock down the three ball and play a little bit defense.
I agree.
That's true.
I agree. I don't think it would be that.
Yeah, I don't think that. Yeah, it's like a massive hole where you have to fill.
Yeah.
No.
Pause. I guess.
But, once again,
where's the flag? Hey, I get flagged all the time.
I said pause.
That don't do nothing.
Hey, got it right here. Flag. Boom. Yep. Flag on him.
The field judge got him.
I think I think just kind of looking at it that way, it's like it shouldn't be that hard for me to find a guard who can knock down the three ball, play a little bit of defense, and all that. Keon obviously is a better than a little bit of defense, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Because
you're bringing in a guy like Kuminga,
and you can get him for cheaper too, like. Ellis is going to want some money pretty soon. You can get a veteran, play some defense, and be scrappy for cheap. Come on now.
I'm not sure how. Yeah. I'm not sure how expensive Keon's going to be, but yeah.
I agree. I mean, I think Keon at least is going to, you know, make $10 to $12 million a year.
Yeah.
You know, and you can go back into the G League, or you can go back into undrafted players and try to find another Keon Ellis type guy. In this particular case, I love Keon Ellis. Once again, I want to do the deal where he's still here. But I would not let Keon Ellis be the determining factor as to why this deal doesn't get done.
We just got a text right now, Kenny.
Oh,
snap.
Yeah. Matt George says that we should be ashamed of ourselves.
Matt George is
Matt, we're just trying to work here.
That's it.
That's it.
That's all we're doing, man. And we're like in the boardroom of the Kings organization right now. We're having this conversation here. We're not having it on the radio. We're having it this is internally.
Anthony in the chat says, You want to see Devin Carter getting minutes is crazy. It's not even necessary.
Wait, who said
that?
Like, this always happens. You know what I feel like? I feel like Cam Newton. I'm going to explain that later.
See, I was in a good mood.
No, I'm going to explain that later because nobody even said anything like that. But we'll talk about it a little bit more. We'll talk about this. I want to talk a little bit more about some NBA stuff because I've been doing, you know, a little deep dive and hearing some stuff. Damn, expansion don't look like it's happening anytime soon. I don't think it's happening anytime soon. So we'll get into all that. I still want to hear from you on the Elk Grove Kid Talk line about a possible Jonathan Kuminga acquisition. Would you be willing to move on from Keon Ellis if that's what it meant to get JK. We'll talk about it all, man. It's ESPN 1320. It's D'Lo and KC, Sacramento's number one sports station. You're going to have to hold that thought, Leezy, here on D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320. We got my man Eddie Gonzalez pulling up in about 25, 30 minutes or so. And Bonte Hill, he's going to join us in the final 30 minutes or so of the show. I had a little discussion going on real quick, and I want to make sure we still touch on that about Keon Ellis and Jonathan Kuminga and the possibility of that being what it takes for the Kings to land Jonathan Kuminga. The other aspect that Kyle Mattson brought up that I don't think we've talked about, which will make the situation easier. I don't know if Matt George has talked about this, and it changes his mind. Drew, the local guy, was on here yesterday, and he's connected a little bit. You know, he talks to Keon or whatever. This isn't straight from Keon or nothing like that. But understandably, the camp was kind of upset when they picked up his option.
Yeah.
Because that cost them some money. That cost them some money. That cost Keon Ellis, you know, some M's. Mm-hmm. And if he's looking at this situation, potentially, like, all right, man, I got to do what I have to do to play and do all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But I remember how this went down. I'm going to be an unrestricted free agent next year.
Yeah.
I'm going to remember how this went down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be definitely going to be open to moving on. And he's telling this to Scott Barry in the front office, if that's the conversation.
Hey, if he's up, you got to start
if he's talking like that.
Now, already?
Oh, yeah. That makes the situation even easier for me, because I'm a potentially pass on a guy like Jonathan Kuminga and the upside that he has, and taking that roll of the dice on him for a guy that may leave me in 9 months. I can't do that.
Nah.
I can't do that. So if that's the conversations that are going on between the Kings front office and Keon Ellis's representatives, absolutely I have to think about putting him in a trade and moving on from him to acquire Jonathan Kuminga. And that's one thing that a lot of people also aren't factoring in. So the one thing that I look at it in this situation as it being a situation where I don't want to move on from Keon Ellis.
No, we
I
like
do
him.
Not want to move on from Keon Ellis. But I brought this situation up. I don't know if Jesse, you were listening. I'll ask you, Leezy, as well. But if the Utah Jazz offered Ace Bailey to the Sacramento Kings right now.
Yeah.
For Keon Ellis, what would the Kings do? What should the Kings
do? We are packing his bags. Who say no to that? What's up?
Jesse, if they offered Ace Bailey right now to the Kings
for Keon. That's a question.
The Jazz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do the deal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Shout out Danny Ainge. He's losing it.
Man, we don't. And, like, we're doing that. We're feeling good. Like, yeah, that's the move that you make. We don't even know what Ace Bailey can do in the league. We have no idea what he's going to be in the league.
Yeah.
He could be an unbelievable bust.
Yeah, but I think there, like, you're taking that deal just because you're looking at just, I guess, the values, if that's the right word, like the upside of Bailey compared to what you got with Keon, I think.
Right.
Well, that's the same thing. Yeah. That's the same
and
thing.
That's what I'm saying. What's the difference between that and Kuminga? Money a little bit,
yeah.
Age a little bit, so it's not an exact comparison. But when you talk about the upside of what these guys can be, Kuminga's only 3 years older than Ace Bailey.
And he has the experience to being in the league already. So
we've seen a little bit more from Kuminga, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think where that's where it's different. Because I think Kuminga, I know he's like a 15 to probably 18 point per game score, whatever. What kind of hoping if he can,
get Steve Kerr not playing
20
him.
Round or 20, that 20 range or whatever.
Right.
Ace Bailey, I don't know. I guess the unknown is kind of what makes it different there, I guess.
Right, like, right.
There's a little bit more of a known with Kuminga, I guess.
Right, which you can look at it either way, right? That could be a positive.
Ace Bailey, I think you can look at it like, oh, yeah, this guy can like potentially be like the number one guy on my team. Kuminga, you're looking at it's like, oh, like he could probably be two or three maybe or whatever. Like, I don't know.
He might be the number one guy on your team.
We don't know. We don't know yet.
He could potentially. I think we talked about it earlier. I think worst case scenario, Jonathan Kuminga is like what he is right now, 15. When he gets the opportunity to play, averages like 18 points per game.
He gonna get minutes.
I think that's the floor for Jonathan Kuminga. He could be so much more than that. My whole point of asking that question is, if you had somebody with a super ceiling like Ace Bailey being offered for Keon Ellis, ain't nobody turning that down. Mm-hmm. Nobody's saying, no, I don't want the number three. This is what, and I said this on the handoff, this is what everybody wants.
Yeah.
Everybody wants a situation where you can go get a young guy that you can build around. This is the tank. This is the tank. This is what you're getting. Jonathan Kuminga.
This is it.
You want the tank to go get a Kuminga.
Yeah.
A Kuminga type player in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, he'll probably be 2 or 3 years younger. I'm not disputing that. That's why I'm saying it's not an exact comparison. Awesome. But this is it. You wouldn't not tank so you can keep Keon Ellis.
Good point.
Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong.
You got to talk to Matt George about this.
Matt George is
still blowing us up.
Yeah, he is not in favor of anything that has to do with move on from Keon Ellis.
Come on, Matt.
And I understand. I love Keon Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
I want to repeat.
Hey, Casey.
I want to do the deal and get JK and keep Keon Ellis almost at all costs. This is like a last ditch effort. This is our last chance. I'm not gonna allow Keon Ellis to stop this.
I still think there's a point too where I don't even know if you necessarily have to offer Keon. Like, I don't buy into the fact the Warriors are just willing to bring him back and, all right, we'll just lose you for nothing at some point or take another deal that's like what the Kings are offering us now.
I agree, but they could though. I don't think it's far fetched that you do that.
It's funny with the Warriors.
If you're the Warriors though, do you do that like to Steph? Like, don't you owe it, to him and to Jimmy now, I guess? Like, how are you going to tell Steph, like, going into his last 3 years of his career, not last 3 years of his career, but just the last part of his career, just, hey, we're going to bring back this guy that doesn't fit. I know you want to win and all that, but we're just going to deal with this for right now. Like, it's a bad situation.
Let me answer that and hold tight, Leezy. Let's get who we got on?
We got Sidney Dean.
Let's get Sidney Dean real quick on the Elk Grove Kid Talk line and what he thinks about this situation. Sidney, what's up, man?
Hey, I appreciate you, Casey. You've been holding it down this week. Pause. Yeah, man, good for you. You've been killing it. Yeah,
thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Shout out, Jesse, best producer in the game.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
Shout out, Leezy.
Hey.
What's up, man?
What's up? What's up, kinfolk?
We're talking about value, right? My Facebook Marketplace people, when you resell something, it's about how you treated that thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Warriors been treating Kuminga like he's trash. Like, if that was his bike, they're leaving it on the lawn all night, letting the sprinklers get on it. It's rusted. We know how they value him.
Mm-hmm.
We value Keon. If that's what they want, then we're going to have to start stocking the cupboards too. You want Keon? Where's your 2034 pick? We want that, because when Curry's gone, you're going to have some lean ears. Those picks are going to be valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not giving no picks. I would be demanding that. We need to restock the shelves because we actually value Keon. He knows that we like him. We sent him. We're telling everybody, no, we want him here.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors went out and got Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
That's Kuminga's spot. Like, it wasn't even like, oh, it's, you know, they're going to battle it out. It was, no, Jimmy's our guy. We just signed him to this deal. So, I just think they got to give us something.
No, I appreciate you, Sidney. I don't think they would. You'd be able to get some picks out of the Warriors. I don't know. I don't think you'd be able to get some picks out of Warriors. If I was the Warriors, I wouldn't do that. I'd be like, yo, do you want Jonathan Kuminga? Like, we're giving you that opportunity to get him. I wouldn't include picks in that situation.
No,
if I would.
I wouldn't include
even
picks.
Even if they wanted Keon.
I don't want to move off of Keon, but I also just don't love the idea of the Kings having just being handicapped as they are right now. 2027 is what we keep hearing. Flexibility this, flexibility that at that time. I just hate the idea of them having an opportunity to land a player like Jonathan Kuminga that could be for your future, but given all the issues you're dealing with as far as moving players and all that, and just letting that go. Because I'm not sure how many times an opportunity like this for a player like this, not like Kuminga's the top player in the NBA or anything like that, but player with upside who can be a 20-plus point game per game guy or 15-18 right now, are you passing up on that? Is that going to be up for you again coming up?
Right.
Or are you going to be just kind of cupboards bare once flexibility is here in
2027?
There's two things. Like, the Warriors are also dealing with a bad situation, but also the Kings just have to get better as well.
I agree.
It's time to push things forward, too.
I agree. 100%.
When you have the opportunities to.
To your original – hold on 1 second, Leezy.
Mm-hmm.
To your original point earlier about why – like, because I'm a look on the other side of this with the Warriors a little bit. Why would they do that? Why would they do that to Steph in that situation? if you and maybe there's some other stuff with the cap that I'm not factoring in when I say this, but getting Devin Carter, Sarge, and a pick isn't doing anything for Steph Curry right now. That's the way I might look at it. If it's about like, oh, I can't do this to Steph, well, none of these players are going to help Steph. What might help Steph more is in case of a Jimmy Butler injury, yep, who's always hurt, you know what I mean? I have a guy like Jonathan. Well, he is always hurt.
Oh, regular season,
it's
baby.
It's a drill. Well, look, hey, if he's going to be out 20 games, at least I got a Jonathan Kuminga there to fill in.
Warriors were like 23-7 when Jimmy, that whole trade went down. When they traded for him, that was the record post Jimmy.
That's fine, and then he got hurt. He can't hold up anymore.
They made it, and they beat the Rockets, number two seed.
So, but now if I'm really talking about like helping Steph out and trying to make the best team possible, if Sarge and Devin Carter is what you're offering, that ain't gonna help me this year. And I'm losing a player like Kuminga, who even though I've chosen.
Yeah, would you rather have no help and bad vibes or no help and good vibes?
Now Mike Dunleavy. Now we're talking about vibes. Hey. And I'm with you. Now, you gotta factor in, does having a more cohesive locker room, does that weigh more heavily than just the potential of the talent that Kuminga may have there if something goes wrong?
Yeah, Mike, you want Steph answering questions about Jonathan Kuminga 2 weeks into the season? You think he's going to love that? Nah.
What you got, Lazy?
Oh, nothing. It was like, man, it kind of goes back to what Scott Perry was saying, man. We want volunteers here, not hostages. If someone is feeling a certain type of way and you have a better deal out there, then go make that deal. And on the same hand for the Warriors, to me, they just haven't been utilizing Kuminga the best, which is kind of a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they want to ask for the sun and the moon and the world for this guy. It's just like, there has to be some type of middle ground here. And I don't know. I'm getting upset.
But once again, though, if I'm the Warriors, I just bring him back. Like, like all situations are bad. What are you going to do, not play?
He said he's not resigning.
All right, don't play.
Okay.
Don't play then, Jonathan Kuminga. Mm-hmm. This is my offer. This is what I'm trying to do. Hey. We're talking about we want to bring you back. We're not getting the deals that we want. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's a bad situation for me. I look crazy as the Warriors. I fumbled this whole thing. It's bad. But all the situations are bad.
What's the better deal out there? What's the better deal out there that the Warriors going to get?
I don't have one. It's all bad.
Yeah.
Once again, I'm the Warriors. I messed this up. Mm-hmm. It's all bad.
Yeah.
But if I come to the conclusion that I say I don't want to just give him up, I can just re-sign him. And if he doesn't want to play, he don't have to play. Or he can come back and he plays on whatever qualifying offer or whatever the case may be, and the value's not there. Like, it's a bad situation. I'm Mike Dunleavy. I've fumbled this crazy. I'm Steve Kerr. I fumbled this crazy.
Steve Kerr fumbled it.
There is no like winning in this situation if you're the Warriors, in my opinion. But I could be, and I would kind of advise against it if I was whoever the assistant GM is. I could just say, I'm not going to just take any deal. Like, this ain't going to help me. I could just do that. I would advise against it because you are getting a pick in this situation, and you could be getting a first round pick from the Sacramento Kings.
Well,
something that you could use in trying to acquire somebody else down the road. Yeah. That's how I would look at it if I was the Golden State Warriors. But they could just be stubborn and stupid about the situation and be like, none of that helps us right now, so we're just going to keep them.
Nah, if you get a pick, you better take that.
I agree.